It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom. And also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jad, hosting this program, Aisha Chavid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about
the jurisprudential laws about the month of Muharram, this sad and solemn month in which Imam Hussein becomes martyred and assassinated. And so for that, we extend our condolences to you, my dear listeners, for that. Keep us in your du'as in this month too for us. Well, Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question. Is it permissible for a woman to be an elegy reciter or orator in commemorative gatherings, you know, for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein this sad month, provided that there are no non-mahrams, in fact, in the gatherings, in those conventions, right? So is it permissible for such a lady to be an elegy reciter?
Well, if the fear of vile consequences exists, in other words, if it entails evil, they should avoid doing it. But if a person, if a woman gives lectures in a female-only gathering, and there's no fear of vile consequences, and the woman does not is sure that she is not being heard by men, by men,
or non-mahram,
or non-mahram men. I mean non-mahram men. Then there's no objection to her. So in the event that there are non-mahram men, she should not make her voice tender or sweet or soft or attractive. She should not try to, you see, make her voice attractive for, because she's being heard by non-mahram men. So if she speaks in a normal way, just as she speaks in a normal occasion, so there's no objection to her. But if there are men, non-mahram men, hearing her, then she should not sweeten, she should not her voice, she should not make her voice delicate, and she should not make her voice attractive.
Sheikh Javid, in this sad month, there are different commemorative gatherings here and there in the, you know, most of the Islamic countries, if not all, to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. And sometimes we hear musical instruments or music in, you know, in the convention of such gatherings or processions. Is that permissible?
Well, musical instruments are one of the things that undermine the credibility and the genuineness and even the spirituality of the commemoration ceremonies, because when music comes and musical instruments are played, then it's very difficult to tell which is allowed to use and which is not allowed to use. So that's why the religious authorities, generally speaking, have forbidden the use of musical instruments, because they can be misused, they can be played in different ways, and it then becomes very difficult to stop people from playing those musical instruments, because you cannot tell that between the haram ones and the halal ones. So His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that using musical instruments is an inappropriate act for the commemoration ceremonies of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is preferable to hold commemoration ceremonies in the same traditional way that has been handed down through the generations. Mm-hmm. We do know very well that in the past there was no such thing as, you know, as drums, as, you know, pianos and other different musical instruments. And in the past, more chances were given to the lecturers to speak, and the people gathered in mosques, they listened to the lecturer, to the speaker, and the speaker spoke, he read elegies, and people wept in mourning for Imam Hussein. So there was there was no musical instruments involved, and so it was very much beneficial. It was very much full of information, full of awareness, full of insight. But in this time around, we see that unfortunately more and more people tend to use musical instruments, which is not appropriate. More and more people tend to use people who have only good voice, mm-hmm. rather than good knowledge. They don't have appropriate knowledge of the religion, of Quranic teachings, of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, and therefore these people potentially can undermine the whole religion, if especially the Muharram event, if precaution is not exercised.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Shahid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islam Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad. Hosting this program, Sheikh Chawid, our guest speaker. The topic is still some of the jurisprudential laws related to the sad month of Muharram, in which Imam Hussein gets martyred and assassinated. Sheikh Chawid, my question is, in this part of our episode of Islamic Laws, is that which one takes precedence? Which one is more important, the obligatory prayers or the mourning of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him? What if this mourning resulted in missing, one of the obligatory prayer?
Yeah, that's an unfortunate thing if it does happen. If a person ends up missing his obligatory prayers, that is a great sin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt as to the fact that the obligatory prayer takes precedence. It is much more important because the prayers, the daily obligatory prayers, are obligatory. How can you skip an obligatory act in order to perform a recommended act? So it is necessary for every individual, for every person who takes part in azadari gatherings, in majalis, in the morning ceremonies, to make sure that he performs his prayer not only in time, but also on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he should give more importance to praying on time. Never should he allow his prayers to be missed,
mm-hmm.
Under any circumstances. So otherwise, all of what he does in terms of weeping, crying, and, attending these majalis, would be of no use, because in qubilat ma siwaha wa in ruddat ma siwaha, if one's prayers are accepted, then all other acts of worship are accepted. And if the prayers are rejected, then other acts of worship will not be accepted either. So prayer is the pillar of faith in a Salat Amud al-Din.
Mm-hmm.
So it should not be missed under any circumstances.
So that is more important than the
that
morning.
That takes precedence over everything.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Chawid. And thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws about the sad month of Muharram, in which Imam Hussein gets martyred with Sheikh Javid. And thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein plan to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of New York.